My Life in Christ, starting at page 254. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, said Matthew 11:12. If we do not fairly strive to conquer the passions which fight against us and to gain the kingdom of God in our heart, then the passion will tyrannically, forcibly take possession of us, will invade our soul like robbers. Our attachment to earthly things will increase in proportion as our faith in heavenly blessings and love for them grows weaker and weaker. Our love for God and our neighbor will also grow weaker and weaker. We shall enjoy rest of conscience and peace of heart more and more seldom. We must struggle in the matter of salvation of the soul, which is more precious than anything in the world. We must count everything earthly as dross, as a phantom, a vision, and everything heavenly, above all, the Lord himself, as truth itself, eternal, most blessed, and unchangeable. We all love life, are anxious and strive for a happy life, and yet our life is corrupted by passions. Wherefore? Because we do not seek life where we should. To the young and to all grown-up people, remember that the moral law of God continually acts in the world, in accordance with which every good in inwardly rewarded, whilst every evil is punished. Evil is accompanied by affliction and straitness of heart, and good by peace, joy, and expansion of the heart. This law is unchangeable, for it is the law of the unchangeable. O holy, righteous, most wise, and eternal God, those who do good or who fulfill this moral or gospel law, which is also a moral law, only the most perfect shall be ineffably rewarded by eternal life, while its transgressors and those who have not repented of its transgressions shall be punished by eternal torment. God is which is existing. In him all the saints, all the reasonable and free being are one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. St. John 17, chapter 21, verse. I myself am nothing. God is everything in me. God is in all, and God is everything for all. Our Father, which art in heaven. When you call in prayer upon the Lord God in three persons, remember that you are calling upon the unoriginate Father of all creatures, angels and men, that all the heavenly powers are in the wonderment at you as you call upon him and look lovingly upon you, that you are able to call with faith, love, and becoming reverence upon our and their common Father, the Almighty, Creator and Lord, whom they love boundlessly, whom they reverence deeply. Oh, what a great happiness and blessedness, what an hour, what an honor, how sublime a thing it is to be able to call upon the Eternal Father. Virtue, value, continuity, and unchangeability, this highest happiness, this blessedness which the infinite mercy of God has reserved to you. And do not forget it during the time of your prayer. God hears you. God's saints and angels hear you. I shed tears while writing these lines, February 26, 1864. Christ is all and in all. Galatians 3, 11th verse, in the holy angels, in holy men, and in the Christians living or endeavoring to live holily upon the earth, and gave him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body. Thus the church, God's saints, the mother of God, the angels, the prelates, the martyrs, the holy fathers, the righteous, and all holy persons are the Savior's body, and he himself is their head. Our Lady, the mother of God, is the sovereign of mental edification. That is, Our Lady and all the saints are one spirit with the Lord. So pure and holy are they, and they have the same relations with him, or the same union with him, as the members of the body to the head. And there is one spirit in them, the Spirit of God. As the soul is in one body, so is the one God and Father in them. And we, as the members of the earthly church, are also one body. Our Lady, the Mother of God, is the most beautifully adorned temple of the Holy Trinity. She is, after God, the treasury of all blessings, of purity, holiness, of all true wisdom, the source of spiritual power and constancy. We are one body of love, food, drink, money, dress, houses, or earthly attributes are nothing, whilst man is everything. Nothing is so precious as man. Man by his soul is immortal, whilst everything material is perishable and ephemeral. Everything material is like dust. Everything is God's, nothing is ours. Man, esteem the dignity of man as the image of God, and in the time of his need, do not grudge him any material help. Everything except true love is an illusion. If a friend behaves coldly, rudely, spitefully, insolently, to you say, this is an illusion of the enemy. If a feeling of enmity arising from your friend's coldness and insolence disturbs you, say, this is an illusion of mine. But the truth is that I love my friend, and in spite of everything, and I do not wish to see evil in him, which is an illusion of the demon, and which is in me also. I will be indulgent to his faults, for they are in me also. We have the same sinful nature. You say that your friend has sins and great defects, so have you. You say that you do not love him because of such and such sins and defects, then do not love yourself either, because you have the same sins and defects as he has. But remember that the Lamb of God took upon himself the sins of the whole world. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant for his sins, defects, and vices? Everyone to his own master standards of fullness. But in accordance with Christian love, you must be indulgent in every possible way to the faults of your neighbor. You must cure him of his wickedness, of his spiritual infirmity. For every coldness, every passion is an infirmity. By love, kindness, meekness, humility, as you yourself would wish to receive from others, when you suffer from a similar infirmity. For who is not subject to infirmity? Who does the most evil enemy spare? Lord, destroy all the snares of the enemy in us. Remember what man is. He is the image of God, a child of God, a creation, an inheritor of the kingdom, a member of Christ. We must therefore esteem every man, although he may bear in his soul the wounds of sin. The wounds are wounds. They are made by the devil and sin. But still, the image is the image of God. We must pity him for his wounds, grieve, pray for him as for ourselves, for we are all one body. and has made of one blood all nations, we are all partakers of that one bread. Do not pay attention to the diabolical disturbances, separations, and animosities. Repeat, everyone is one. Say, we are one. Count all worldly delights as dross and corruption. Do not love anything earthly. Do not grudge anything earthly to any man. And do not nourish any animosity against him through such things. Love aspires to rejoice, and beloved, rejoice the beloved, and the is sparing of nothing. Lord, grant that I may see my transgressions, that I may not despise sinners like unto myself, and may not nourish any ill feeling in my heart against them for their sins, that I may despise myself as I deserve, as the greatest of sinners, and that I may ever feel the implacable hatred of myself, implacable hatred of myself, of my own carnal man. If any man hate not his own life, he cannot be my disciple. St. Luke 14, chapter 26, where says the Lord, God is the creator and ruler of all the world, and everything in it is his work, the fruit of his power and wisdom. There is no need to ask anyone whenever we ought to spread or propagate the glory of God, either by writing or by the word or by good works. This we are obliged to do according to our power and possibility. We must make use of our talents. If we think much about such a simple matter, then perhaps the devil may suggest to you such foolishness as that you need only be inwardly active. The principal characteristic of this present temporal life is temptation. What is sweeter than love? And yet there is not much love in us. Wherefore, we love our flesh exceedingly, and with it everything carnal, material, and earthly. Let us therefore despise the flesh and walk by the Spirit, mortifying the works of the flesh by the Spirit. Avarice, occasions, a waste of love, and inspires hatred against those who deprive or rob us of our property, while hearty generosity arouses love for those to whom we are liberal. Forced generosity, however, also provides dislike. Avarice proceeds from the devil, generosity from God. He is the God of boundless. Every attachment to material things proceeds from the devil. Neglect, contempt of material things, and indifference to them for the love of God from God. Amen. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. St. Matthew 11, chapter 30th verse. Thus the Lord's commandments are easy and light, whilst the devil's yoke is evil and his burden heavy. But what do we see? We transgress the Lord's commandments and fulfill those of the devil. How accursed are we? Always remember that your neighbor, whoever he may be, if he is a Christian or a member of the Christ, though he may be a sick one, but then you yourself are also sick and must always receive him with respect and love. Converse with him heartily, entertain him, and not begrudge him anything, neither food, drink, clothes, books, or money. If he has needs of them, the Lord will reward you for him. We are all his children, and he is everything for us. We are all sinners, and the wages of sin are misfortunes, troubles, sorrows, and sicknesses, and death. Romans 6:23. in order to be saved from sin, we must pray. And in order to pray, we must have faith and hope. Thus, for us sinners, prayer, faith, and hope are most necessary. Prayer ought not to cease coming from the mental and even from the outward lips of a sinner. During prayer at home and at church, against the craftiness of the devil and the distraction of your thoughts, remind yourself of the simplicity of truth and say to yourself, simply, I believe in everything that I ask is the simplicity of in the simplicity of my heart, and ask for everything simply, whilst all my enemies, craftiness, blasphemies, abomination, and illusions I renounce. Let the origin and the foundation and the source of all your thoughts and words and works be humility, the consciousness of your own nothingness, and the fullness of Godhead, which has created and filled everything and worketh all in all. 1 Corinthians 12:6. He who is infected by pride is inclined to show contempt for everything, even for holy and divine objects. Pride mentally destroys or defiles every good thought, word, act, every creation of God, and is the deadly breathing of Satan. What hinders you from fulfilling Christ's commandments? The flesh and the world, that is, pleasant food and drink, which men like, and which they delight both in thought and in fact, which make the heart gross and hard, partiality for an elegant dress and adornment, or for distinctions and rewards. If the dress or adornments are made of very beautiful, colorful, colored and delicate materials, then care and anxiety arise how to avoid staining or spoiling them, or getting them dirty or wet, while care and anxiety how to please God in thought, word, and deed vanish, and the heart lives for dress and adornment, and becomes entirely engrossed in these things, ceasing to care about God and being united to Him. If such is the case with a priest, then he neglects praying for his people and becomes not soul-loving but money-loving and ambitious, seeking not the men themselves but that which appertains to them, that is, money, food, drink, their favor, their good opinion and good word, flattering them. Therefore, fight against every worldly enticement, against every material enticement that hinders you from fulfilling Christ's commandments. Love God with all your heart and care with all your strength for the salvation of your own soul and the souls of others. Be soul-loving. Remember that the world which rose from nothing is indeed nothingness and will return to nothing, for heaven and earth shall pass away, but the human soul, the breath of God, the image of the immortal King, is itself immortal. Remember all this and renounce attachments to all earthly things. Besides looking upon corruptible creatures and created things, turn your eyes constantly to the Creator, who is in every creature, and who constantly looks upon you, constantly proving your heart and your thoughts. Do not cling with your heart to anything, and do not make it the God of your heart. The sole God of your heart must be the Lord God, who created it, for our heart is His breath. Do not cleave with your whole heart unto any person, that is, to any flesh, for the sole God of our heart must be the Lord God, and to Him only must we cleave, for attachment to material things or to flesh is a lie, an enticement of Satan, and the will of the devil. Amen. By attaching ourselves to mere nothingness, to transitory things, what do we lose? Of what blessing do we deprive ourselves and are deprived? The Lord has told thee, my soul, that the whole visible world in comparison to thee is nothing. Therefore count it as nothing and see for what purpose the Creator has created thee and what he wishes to make thee. Remember how the Son of God came down upon earth, how he walked upon earth announcing the good tidings of heavenly truth. His voluntary poverty, his miracles and prophecies, his Last Supper, his shame, his sufferings, death, resurrection, and ascension into heavens, and aim and aspire to heavenly bliss. True love willingly bears privations, troubles, and labors, endures offenses, humiliations, defects, sins, and injustices, if they do not harm others, bears patiently and meekly with the baseness and malice of others, leaving judgment to the all-seeing God, the righteous judge, and praying that he may teach those who are darkened by senseless passions. During prayer and when reading God's word, we must reverence every thought, every word, as the Spirit of God himself, the Spirit of truth. We must extirpate doubt and contempt for the word as a poison of the spirit of falsehood, and as doubt and contempt are the fruits of the self-conceit and pride. We must eradicate pride and to be like infants, lisping in their simplicity before God, like infants who know and say only that which their parents have taught them, and who do not hear or know any suggestions different of those of their parents, and do not even wish to listen or to know them. For the Holy Ghost taught the holy fathers, like simple-hearted and gentle children, how to pray, to thank and to praise God by means of those prayers which the Church puts into our mouths. Remember that all of us are children of the Heavenly Father, and in the simplicity of your soul, look upon all as upon the children of Eternal Father, holy, most good, omnipresent, omniscient, almighty, most wise, righteous, unchangeable, providing for all and protecting all under the wings of his goodness, and live in love with all, conquering every evil in men by good. What a high dignity, honor, and happiness is to pray.